Radio Prague News.
The Czech Lower House has again postponed a final vote on a church property restitution bill. Over 20% of students failed this year's nationwide secondary school leaving exams. And UEFA has banned Sigma Olomouc from participating in next season's Europa League over a corruption scandal. The Lower House of Parliament on Wednesday again postponed a final vote on a bill that would give Czech churches back their property confiscated by the communist regime in the 1950s. The opposition, which strongly objects to the bill, managed to block the vote by protracted debate. The Lower House will return to the issue next Wednesday. Under the draft legislation, the Czech state would return some 56% of the physical property confiscated by the communist regime, worth around 75 billion crowns. For the rest, Czech churches and religious societies would receive some 60 billion crowns in compensation over the period of 30 years. The Mandate and Immunity Committee of the Lower House on Wednesday reached no decision on whether top 09 MP and former Defence Minister Vlasta Parkanová should be prosecuted over her role in the 2009 purchase of the CASA transport planes for the Czech military. Members of the committee asked the police to provide the complete case file before they will vote to recommend whether the Lower House should allow Ms. Parkanová's prosecution. The committee will meet again next Wednesday. The police last week asked the Lower House to allow the prosecution of the former defence minister who allegedly failed to provide an independent review of the 3.6 billion crown contract, which the police say was overpriced by nearly 660 million crowns. More than 21% of secondary school students failed this year's nationwide school leaving exams, Education Minister Petr Fiala told reporters on Wednesday. Only 4% of students chose the more advanced level of the exams. In total, 103,000 students took the exams this year. The nationwide secondary school leaving exams held this year for the second time were affected by a series of problems, including unclear evaluation criteria of the Czech language essays. Many students also complained that the tests in math were too difficult, and nearly 7,000 of them appealed the results. Earlier this month, Minister Fiala dismissed the head of the ministry's department overseeing the state school leaving exams. The Czech Republic ranked 18th in the European Union in GDP per capita in 2011, up one place from the previous year, according to figures released by the bloc statistical body Eurostat on Wednesday. However, Czech GDP last year only reached 80% of the EU average. Luxembourg is the EU member state with the highest GDP per capita, while the Czech Republic is the EU's second richest former communist country, after Slovenia. Europe's football governing body, UEFA, on Wednesday banned Czech FA Cup winner Sigma Olomouc from participating in next season's Europa League over the club's involvement in a corruption scandal. The Czech Football Association fined Olomouc for allegedly bribing players from an opposing team to ensure the victory in the last round of the 2008-2009 season. The case is now being reviewed by a court. It is not clear whether Olomouc will be replaced by another Czech team in the upcoming Europa League season. And finally, a brief look at the weather. The coming days will be mostly cloudy with some rain and storms expected. Daytime highs should range between 22 and 26 degrees Celsius. My name is Andrej Terter, and that's the end of the news.
Hello and welcome. You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio, and my name is Sarah Borufka. Coming up in today's program, the weapons manufacturer Omnipol has defended itself in connection with a recent corruption scandal. A new project seeks to find the greatest Czech living abroad. And in Marketplace, Jan Richter has some information on the typical Czech dollar millionaire. All that and more coming up, so do stay with us. The Omnipol company, which is at the center of a scandal involving allegedly overpriced military transport planes, has defended itself. It says its profits from the deal were normal and amounted to far less than police and the media have asserted. Meanwhile, a parliamentary committee has begun examining the evidence to determine whether to give up MP and former defense minister Vlasta Parkanová, whom the police want to prosecute over the deal. Christian Falvey has more.
According to the police, the CASA transport planes that the Czech Defense Ministry purchased from Spain in 2009 were overpriced by a tremendous 658 million crowns, costing the Czechs more than double what the Polish or Portuguese paid for the same aircraft. On Tuesday, the weapons manufacturer Omnipol, which mediated the deal for the government, held a rare press conference to give their side of the story. Director Michal Hon told Czech Radio that after banking and exchange rate fees and taxes, the company earned only 85 million crowns on the deal. As for comparisons with other countries, he had this to say.
This talk of normal prices paid from public funds elsewhere and which army bought similar planes is completely misleading. No one has published any information about the financial sources of those deals or what planes with what equipage were purchased. I can't comment on it because I haven't seen the contracts and I doubt that the people who are talking so loudly about it have seen them either. I can say, for example, that from public sources I found out that the Finnish army bought two planes for 45 million euros and another two of the same type for 112 million.
The sum of 85 million corresponds to a gross profit of roughly 3% of the entire order. The police case appears to rest on an estimate of 658 million compiled by the U.S. company American Appraisal. According to Omnipol and others, that estimate is necessarily misleading, as it is impossible to assess the standard price of such a piece of military technology, a view contested in turn by American Appraisal and by defense analyst Jaroslav Štefec, who told Czech television the following.
The price paid definitely does not correspond to the price of three aircraft. 2 years, I think, before the purchase, the C-295M version of the plane was being offered on the CASA website for about $22 million. It is not true that the price cannot be determined from public sources. I also happen to know that the CASA company made the Defense Ministry a specific offer that was around $23 million per plane before the company Omnipol and the heads of the Defense Ministry got involved in the deal.
All told, the government of Mirek Topolánek spent roughly 3.5 billion for the four planes in the closing days of its tenure. Michal Hon says that Defense Minister Vlasta Parkanova, who the police now want Parliament to give up for prosecution, was never involved in the negotiations, and that Omnipol's public defense has nothing to do with protecting her, but with protecting itself from calls to return nearly 700 million crowns it, quote, never stole and never possessed.
Thank you for that, Christian. And if you have an opinion on the issue, please feel free to share either on our Facebook wall through a comment or also via email to english@radio.cz. Who is the greatest Czech living abroad? As part of the Czechs Abroad project, the Foreign Ministry, together with Czech Radio and Czech TV, is finding the answer to that question. The ambitious initiative also seeks to paint a more vivid picture of those Czechs who do not live in their native country through reports, conferences, and discussions. More about the project in this report. Miloš Forman, Milan Kundera, Ivan Mendel. There are about 2 million Czechs or people of Czech origin who live abroad. Some of them escaped during communism, others were born abroad but have maintained a strong connection to the country of their parents, and yet others moved away from home to pursue a career. Now, a unique competition seeks to find the greatest Czech living abroad. Through the end of June, listeners of Czech Radio and viewers of Czech TV can send in their picks. But how did this idea originate? I put the question to co-initiator Milena Strafeldová, the head of Radio Prague's Czech section.
28. září se každý rok připomíná den České státnosti.
The 28th of September marks the day of Czech statehood. This year, that day is dedicated to Czechs in exile. A number of conferences, festivals, exhibitions and other events on that theme will be held. Czech Radio is contributing to this. We wanted to paint a more vivid picture of Czechs living abroad for our listeners.
Pro českou veřejnost přiblížit zahraniční Čechy.
The project Czechs Abroad seeks to portray those Czech personalities who have left their native country. All stations of Czech radio are involved, as well as Czech TV and the Foreign Ministry, which came up with the idea. Milena Štráfeldová again.
Pokud bych mluvila o té soutěži, kterou jsme vlastně vyhlásili a kde se už schází.
We've launched a competition to find the greatest Czech living abroad. On all our stations, we have called on our listeners to send in their suggestions. We have received about 70 to 80 so far. Among them are, of course, the big names, director Miloš Forman, former US Secretary of State Madeleine Albright, as well as athletes like Jaromír Jágr and Martina Navrátilová. Doctors favor US-based plastic surgeon Bohdan Pomahač, and there are a number of authors, such as Milan Kundera, for example. By the end of the month, we will announce the top 20 names and broadcast radio profiles devoted to these personalities. Listeners can then vote for their favorite, who will be given their title on September 28th in Prague's National Theatre.
Svůj titul převezme 28. září v Národním divadle v Praze.
During the last week in September, a number of other festive events will honor the memory of Czechs living in exile. And for those who would like to see the greatest Czech living abroad receive their title, it is possible to buy tickets for the special gala evening in the capital's National Theatre. And if this new project sounds interesting to you, make sure to tune in into our program and find out more about it. Next up is Jan Richter with his feature Marketplace. The typical Czech dollar millionaire is a man in his late 40s who runs his own company, is concerned about corruption, and doesn't show off his wealth. He does not take big risks with his money, which he mostly spends on himself and his family. These are some of the results of the J&T Bank's Wealth Report for 2012, a new survey of multimillionaires in the Czech Republic and Slovakia. In this edition of Marketplace, Jan Richter talks to one of the authors of the study, Jaroslav Cír, from the research firm Perfect Crowd.
What we have found out is there are fewer differences between the Czech and Slovak republics than we expected. It's quite a homogeneous group. At the moment, we don't have exact comparison with Western Europe. What we know from other studies is that there might be more women, actually, in Western Europe in this affluent group. And age-wise, it tends to be similar. Yeah, similar or maybe even older when we look at wealth distribution in Western Europe.
These people started their careers, obviously, before the fall of communism. Do you see this reflected in any way in the data that you collected and in the analysis that you did with it?
Not necessarily, not exactly. But what actually thinking about the question, I think they were successful, maybe majority of them, in shaking off, actually, the communist heritage quite pronouncedly, you know. We can see it especially when, you know, they answered questions like what are the biggest problems in the society nowadays, in the Czech and Slovak society. And unlike the general population, they did not talk about the taxes and the day-to-day problem, but they talk about, you know, lack of political leadership and vision. So what I think the report shows is that they are quite focused on their businesses and they translate the business thinking into the wider perspective on things in the state and society, which I think most of us didn't adopt yet. We still think the state will take care of us, and I guess that shows that the heritage of communism is still more with the general population.
When it comes to their businesses and the sources of their wealth, you found out that about 60% of them own their own companies. Do you also know what kind of companies typically? Are these production companies or and are they the founders and the people who started it?
No, we don't really know all these details. One thing that we really need to take care of in this study, as with any study, is to really keep the privacy of the people. So we didn't ask this question, but it's a good inspiration maybe for the next year study that we will conduct.
One question you did ask, of course, is how these people protect their property and protect their investments. And you found out that Czechs tend to invest in riskier opportunities than Slovaks. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's just a slight difference, I think, yeah. The tendency is more as you said, towards safer investments, such as real estate, such as, you know, investment into own company and into what we found out and was really interesting, into themselves and in their families, in basically this close circle of families and friends that they have established. But I think we cannot really talk about significant difference between Czechs and Slovaks in this respect.
When it comes to their lifestyle, you also found an interesting thing. The study says that they don't care that much about brands, with one exception, which is cars. Is that common, or was that surprising for you?
It wasn't that surprising, because they are normal human beings, and usually, as you know, all of us human beings, when it comes to brands, we care about brands that we really show to others. And the car is the ultimate ultimate brand, because, you know, we drive it and we are unconsciously, unconsciously identifying with the car. So that wasn't that surprising. What was more surprising, as you have mentioned, was the, again, the maybe lack of care. Yeah, the care about work and care about the family is much more pronounced than care about self-image. Yeah, we have found that a huge segment of them, we call the, let's say, it's not the right label, but kind of the modest group. Yeah. Who are really consciously not showing off their wealth, but rather concentrate on putting the wealth to work in terms of their companies and the prosperity of their businesses.
Comparing Czech and Slovak multimillionaires, you also found out that the Slovak ones tend to like Mercedes-Benz much more. It's about 30% of them have Mercedes, whereas in the Czech Republic it's much more varied. Yeah. What do you think that is?
The question actually was, what brand of car is a symbol of success for you? Yeah, that wasn't whether they like it or drive it. We thought about this question. We thought that over time, perhaps Mercedes as a symbol of wealth kind of tends to move from the western parts of Europe to towards the eastern part, because it's such a flashy, unequivocal symbol of success. Yeah, whereas in, let's say, towards the West, it gets more fragmented into the brands that the Czech millionaires, for instance, mentioned. But also, we learned from our Slovak colleagues that there is a really successful and well-known Mercedes dealership in Slovakia that might have clearly influenced the results.
Are they politically involved at all? I suppose that in their own interest, it would be to vote and to support right-wing governments with low taxes. But you also found out that about double than the regular Czechs are pro-European and pro-European Union, which is kind of a difficult situation here for the right-wing voter. What do you know about their political inclinations, perhaps?
Yeah, the study didn't, you know, focus on politics, but as you mentioned, it implies a certain inclination. What it implies, for instance, the question on EU to us, is that they are more knowledgeable when it comes to politics and more practical. You know, they almost see the EU as, we believe, inevitable instrument of, you know, of the future. And I think that was also important. I already mentioned that one of the key questions for us was concerning the problems in today's society, where they really focus on the lack of leadership, lack of infrastructure in the state, much more than the general population, which again, you know, we can interpret as maybe an inclination towards the right center or right of the politics. But I think politics is less of a issue here, much more, it's almost a managerial view, management view of things, of the state and as a company almost.
Well, one concern of the study was corruption, which was labeled by these people as one of the top issues that Czech society is dealing with. Yet, as Hospodářské noviny highlighted, other studies show that, for instance, 25% of managers of big firms are ready to bribe to get public deals, public contracts. What does the study say about the moral values of these people, if we can generalize?
Again, it's very hard to say from a study like this. I have already mentioned that their eyes are more open towards the future. They are looking at the horizon. It's clearly showed with the comparison. We had asked the same question to general population. And as I said, general population, understandably, more concerned about day-to-day, whereas they have more kind of open eyes to the future. And I think you probably noticed in the study we asked about the about charity and non-profit organizations. They are very much, absolute majority of them are concerned about non-profit, and they are donating periodically to non-profit organizations. The specific question on corruption, it is where they did not differ so much from general population. It seems like a big concern for all involved. I think we are here dealing with a specific group of people whose businesses are successful because of the hard work and because of the success inherent in the business, rather than anything else. That's why, you know, the corruption, which actually is a big hindrance when it comes to doing business, is a big issue for them. And the other studies that you have mentioned, yes, we all know it's a widespread problem, but the biggest I think, again, from other studies, the source of the problem is with the state infrastructure, not so much with the, you know, not so much with the business owners.
And finally, Mr. Tsir, is it easy to approach these people? Are they willing to talk and to share their opinions and their, perhaps, you know, personal data?
I don't think it's easy, and I don't think it's because they are trying to make themselves better than you know, other people. But I think their experience is that they have to be careful about protecting their privacy. That's why, you know, one of the interesting findings that made the headline was, you know, that they are much less than general population on Facebook. You know, on they have much lesser need to share their personas. Yeah, so they are not easy to approach. I think one has to win their trust, and that was very important in this study, because we approached them through their partners, either in the bank or in the kind of connected companies, and after they realize maybe the usefulness of the study, even in the demotization of this group of people, they are quite willing to share the details about their business and private lives with us.
That was Jaroslav Tsir from the research firm Perfect Crowd, who was talking to Radio Prague, Sonja Richter, about multimillionaires in this country. And this brings us to the end of our regular weekday program. But of course, as always, we are rounding that off for you with ABC, our popular Czech language learning series brought to you by Pavla Horáková.
Welcome to the ABC of Czech, where this season we explore Czech vocabulary related to Czech food and cuisine. Today I'm here with
Jan Wellinger,
and we'll give you a taste of Czech sauces.
Omáčky.
Sauces in Czech cuisine are not something that you just pour over the meat. They are a central part of the meal, and often the dish is named after the sauce. So if the menu in a typical Czech restaurant offers, for example, dill sauce, expect to be served beef,
hovězí maso,
and a heap of bread dumplings,
houskové knedlíky,
swimming in a thick, creamy sauce. Probably the most popular is
rajská omáčka,
tomato sauce, but literally paradise sauce, because tomatoes in Czech are called paradise apples.
Rajská jablíčka.
The sauce is red and sweet, and children are crazy about it. Less so of the beef and dumplings, though. Competing with tomato sauce is
svíčková omáčka,
literally candle soup, called after beef tenderloin, which in Czech is
svíce,
meaning candle, or
svíčková.
The meat is baked with root vegetables, which are then blended, and cream can be added to the sauce. It is then served with dumplings and preserved cranberries and whipped cream to garnish. Then there is dill sauce,
koprová omáčka,
the scourge of schools and kindergartens. Hated by 9 kids out of 10, but still regularly served in school canteens. The meal again involves boiled beef and bread dumplings, swimming in creamy sauce with plenty of dill. The vegetarian variety features a boiled egg instead of the meat. Mushroom sauce,
houbová omáčka,
is similar, only with mushrooms instead of dill, and much more popular. And so is
okurková omáčka,
gherkin sauce, again with beef meat, dumplings, and plenty of creamy sauce flavored with finely chopped gherkins. The standard portion of any Czech omáčka meal includes 4 slices of a dumpling. But of course, you can order more. So, to sound like a real local, you have to order
svíčkovou se 6.
Candle sauce with 6, meaning dumplings. And that's all for today. Till next time.
Dobrou chuť.
Bon appétit.
That was Pavla Horáková with ABC of Czech. Thanks for that, Pavla. And of course, all of our programs are available at our internet address, which is radio.cz. And there you can find a huge archive of reports in both audio and text form. You can also sign up for a free news email and use our podcasting. And if you want to connect even further with Radio Prague, we suggest you look at Facebook and find us there. We have a profile under the name of Radio Prague. And you can also contact us with any comments or anything you want to share via email to english@radio.cz or with a letter to Vinohetská 12, 12099, Prague 2. And we also have a Twitter account. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, but until then, from myself, Sarah Borůvka, and from all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.